Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Victoria from Free to Birth, and I absolutely loved this conversation. It was dynamic, challenging at times, but a very important conversation to be having around the system, choice, free birth, and home birth. This podcast is not only relevant to people exploring free birth, but to anyone who is pregnant. There's some really good stuff in here. Enjoy. Victoria, do you just want to give us a brief overview of who you are and what makes you passionate about this subject?
Yeah, thanks, Poppy. Thanks so much for having me on your podcast. Yeah, I'm Victoria. I am a home birth and free birth mentor and coach. I work really online. I work with women and couples that are planning to give birth at home. And I mean, most of them are planning to give birth without any medical support at all. So they're intentionally free birthing. And some are having a kind of midwife supported birth. But they are wondering, well, what do I do, like, if they don't make it in time, if they don't show up? And I think those birthing at home have just got those questions around, well, I'm going to be doing this in an environment that isn't medicalized. So then what do I need to know, you know, and how can I prepare for this? So that is predominantly my kind of work. I also co-host a podcast called Normal Boring Free Birth, because my biggest passion really is normalizing free birth. It's this conversation around it that, you know, moves it away from this kind of quite radical feeling, because I understand and I appreciate, you know, probably a lot of people listening are like, oh my God, I can't imagine anything more scary, like giving birth at home without any medical support. Like, that sounds terrifying. And I get that, because I mean, I have been there myself, you know, with my very first birth and pregnancy. When I heard the word free birth, it was like, that's insane. But now, I mean, I'm just, my whole view on it shifted, and I really see the value in helping others get there too. And really understand that free birth is just birth. It's just giving birth. We would all do it, you know, unless we decided to bring someone into our space or leave our home and go somewhere. You know, it's our body giving birth as it will. And I mean, we don't need anyone to do anything for that to happen. I love that idea that free birth isn't some kind of airy fairy, magical, mystical kind of idea or way of birthing. It's just literally birth. But that, yeah, I appreciate, can sound really daunting for many people. So I think having more conversations around it is great. And that's why I'm here talking to you. But yeah, thank you.
Do you find, so with my birth box course and when I'm working with couples, I always try and find the motivator behind their decision for the birth that they want. For example, a hospital birth or a home birth or a free birth. Like, what is the thing that's motivating them? Do you find with the couples that you work with that there is a similar motivator? For example, my perception might be that they are fearful of the medical establishment, so that might be the motivator for having the home birth. Or do you find that you get people that are just like, well, that's how I want to give birth. There's no fear around the medical establishment. Do you see some sort of trend when speaking to these couples as to what is that motivator? Why are they choosing free birth?
Yeah, like, there's a massive variety, because I mean, absolutely, sure, there are some women and partners, because I always just think it's not just the woman, it will be the partner too, that have had a previous birth in the medical system, whether that's in hospital or actually midwife in their home. And it's been incredibly traumatic, damaging, and there's been a lifelong impact of that, and they want to avoid that trauma. So they want to birth in a different way. So yeah, absolutely, some do come to the idea of giving birth without that assistance from a place of, well, that was horrendous, so I need to do something different. You know, that's just, we can't do that again. But there are also those that are first-time mums. And, you know, I know we hear around like the topic of home birth, like, oh, first-time mum, you know, that's more kind of risky or whatever. But there are those that go full throttle into just like, nah, I'm going to free birth too, you know, and first-time mum. Because it's not so much a fear of that system. It's just a kind of connection and recognition that, why do I need that? What's that for? What's that offering me? And obviously, we're all going to be really different in our perception of what we need at birth. But for some, they're just like, no, you know, I'm going to feel the most comfortable and able to birth without anybody there who is either someone I don't know or is suggesting things I don't want. And free birth sounds like the kind of most normal way of giving birth, because I can literally go about my day, go into labor, and then just birth my baby. I don't have to get in a car, do anything, or do, you know, welcome anything into my space that I don't want. So for some, they're just like, this just makes the most sense. And there isn't that traumatic kind of underlying reason. So yeah, it can be a really mixed bag as to why people, explore this in the first place, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about my listeners right now thinking, what if something goes wrong? I think that's the main thing, isn't it? Because you've made it sound quite nice,
really
actually.
Easy.
Yeah,
yeah,
really easy. And then, like, you know, the big question here is,
of course
is, what if something goes wrong, and how will I live with myself if something tragic were to happen to my baby? Because obviously, if it happens to you and you're not here, you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, if the most awful thing happens, which your mind does go there, it goes there with, you know, even a hospital work. But at least in some ways, you know, you go to hospital and you can pass that blame on. I know that that's not really a good way of thinking about it, but maybe at a subconscious level, people might think, well, if I'm there, I've been in the quote unquote safest place. And if, you know, I'm able to probably, whereas if I opt out of that medical support and something happens, how will I live with myself? What would you say about that? Because I know that that's something that people will be thinking.
Yeah, sure. Like you say, it's the question. I think it's good to kind of nip it in the bud from the start because, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, it sounds great, Victoria. You're making it sound wonderful, but what if something goes wrong? Like, I totally get that. What I say to that is, okay, I mean, for starters, let's look at that. What if something goes wrong? What would you actually do? There is always something you could do. I think for many, their thought process around free birth or even giving birth at home, even with a midwife there, stops at this idea of, oh my God, if something goes wrong, what do I do? And it ends there like a dead end. And I'm always like, okay, let's look at that then. What would you do? What could you do for everybody? They could ring emergency services. They could do something. They could transfer themselves in. There's always something you could decide to do. But yeah, it's one of the things that you need to explore in terms of like, well, what are you comfortable with doing? What I would say is this idea of, yeah, okay, if I'm in a hospital environment or if I have a midwife there or whatever, then I have that kind of safety. Or like you say, someone to blame, which I do understand, because the idea of something happening, then you could look at something and go, oh, it was because of that. You know, they did something, which is very true. You know, I mean, the NHS in the UK, the negligence claims, the highest cause of that negligence claim is maternity services. That's 60% of the, I wrote it down, because I know your listeners are going to love a fact, but 13.3 billion that's spent out on NHS negligence claims a year. That's in 2021 to 2022. 60% of that was maternity claims. So there are things going wrong within that system and they are being compensated, but you have to live with that for the rest of your life. You know, you can point to that and go, oh yeah, it wasn't me, it was someone else. Who's going home with the baby? Because I mean, honestly, like, you know, and it does sound quite hard to hear, I don't believe that the death of a baby is actually the worst thing that can happen. There are many people out there that are having, you know, are their whole lives changed and impacted on an injury that happened during birth, either for themselves or their baby. And now they're having to live with that. And again, like, you know, one of the biggest claims that was made on the NHS was 37 billion paid out to one family because that baby had brain damage from that birth. And I mean, it's a staggering amount of money, but it will be a huge, I mean, you can't, like, a total life change for that. So I think the idea of safety is somewhat skewed when you look at, but what could actually happen? And actually, you know, so many women go into free birth and they are fully aware of something could happen, something could go wrong, and they have to sit with that. I mean, it's a part of the work I do for sure, is never shying away from the big stuff. You know, we have conversations about death, loss, you know, something that could happen. And can you really sit with that? And can you take responsibility for that? Because, you know, if you're feeling like it's easier that it happens somewhere else, I would say really fully think about what that means. Because for many that I work with, it's the knowing that they are the one fully responsible for all the decisions and the choices that they're making, that's actually, it feels the most right to them, you know. But I understand that for many, it's that sense of safety because they can look to someone else and go, just tell me what to do. You're the one with the experience. Just tell me what to do. That doesn't come without cost for many. And I think that's very worth considering because, yeah, absolutely, you know, the free birth world gets the argument of like, yeah, but what if something happens? And I think it's very right to also consider, but what if something happens in the medical setting? And it absolutely can. So it's not a given. You know, you're around people with the kit, the expertise. Is that always a good thing? I don't believe so, no.
You're absolutely right. That's not really the question when we go into hospital birth. What if something happens? But if you're birthing at home, even with medical, you know, you would probably have friends and families go, well, what if something goes wrong? But they never say that when you're going into hospital.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. Things do go wrong. As a doula, I've seen that, you know, too many times, actually.
Yeah.
And often I'm left thinking this would not have happened at home.
Why do you think that? I'm interested. Because why do you feel it wouldn't have happened at home? What do you think the cause of that is?
It depends on the birth. But mostly I would say that things are being hurried along that didn't need to be. Or, you know, there's been one D-cell and the baby's then fine, but then they've acted on that one D-cell and done something quite dramatic to get the baby out, but it didn't need to happen because the baby was fine. But they, you know, it depends on who's on staff. I've seen with younger clinicians as well, their team seems to be doing too much too soon. And I've been in the same hospitals with the same young ones, and I've seen similar things, that buzzer being hit far too soon, which I know that wouldn't have happened at home because that D-cell probably wouldn't have been picked up and it would have just flowed, and you see the baby comes out and they're absolutely fine and you think, oh my God, you really need all of that stuff happen to you. So yeah, I definitely think that. But then I've also been to births where I've thought, thank God we've been in hospital because, you know, the baby's been in a suboptimal position. But then again, I think that if they were having a free birth, these things would have been picked up. So rarely does it suddenly go, boom, 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 boom. So it's all going, you know. There's like some signs and usually the mum knows like that something's not quite right. I think, so obviously I'm pregnant, as you know, with the second or third, if you want to count the miscarriage. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely have been thinking about free birth just because why not? It's an option to me. I want to explore options. I'm not going to rule anything out. But I think for me, even though I know it can be the illusion of safety, that illusion itself is still really powerful. So just knowing that there is someone that I've been conditioned to believe is, you know, they're trained and they can help if things go wrong, and just having that presence there, I think will enable me to feel safe to then relax into the labor and in a way that I might not feel if I knew no one was coming. So it's almost like for someone who wants to free birth but feels like me, that the illusion of safety is so powerful. And it does have an effect. So then how do we kind of, I don't know, how do we work through that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, what I would say is to say you were someone coming to me and I was working with you. I would say, do you want to do this? You don't have to do this. You don't have to free birth. No one has to. And I'm certainly never in the position that I don't sit and go, right, today I'm going to convince everybody that this is the best and safest way. Because I'm not about that. I'm about centering the woman in the decision that she wants to make from the place that feels right to her. And if she is conflicted, so if someone came to me and they were like, right, I want a free birth, but I still actually feel like hospital is the safest place for me, then I would start to kind of investigate, well, why do you want a free birth then? You know, why are you interested in this? You know, if you feel like hospital is the safest place, then why are you being drawn to this at all? And maybe she would say, I don't want to have the intervention. I want to be in my own home. I want to feel comfortable. I want to be left alone and everything. And okay, great. You know, that sounds great that you've got reasons why this is really important to you. Or maybe it would be deeper than that. She'd have a previous experience and that was why she wanted to do it at home. And then we go, okay, well, why do you feel like the medical environment or that medical support is safe to you? What is safe about that? And then there's going to be a reason. There will be something. It will be whether or not in a previous birth, there was a moment where, you know, she was like saved in massive air quotes, or it very much felt like that. Or there was something she felt she did need, or there was something. Or there's some concern she's got about, maybe she's worried about hemorrhaging or something happening to her placenta or something. There will be some root cause of where that fear and then that sense of safety is coming from. I mean, you know, for a lot of us, we are brought up with this idea that a medical setting is safe. But I think for those who are thinking, oh, actually, I'm a little bit curious then about free birthing, there's something there then as to why. Because you don't start thinking about that unless you've got a why, you know.
I think my why would be that I can't guarantee who's coming. And I don't know what they're going to be like. And so that's a risk to me because I know that I want to be left undisturbed. I know that, like, yeah, I want minimal checks, all of those things. I just want to get on with it and not have someone even come over and go, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm the midwife. I don't want that, you know. And I thought I could write a letter, but the unknown of not knowing who's going to be there. And then I have to kind of yeah, anyone could come, and I don't know how they're going to be practicing. But I think my fear as well would be feeling like kind of lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In the experience, like left out alone, like I'm alone, like, you know, I've got my husband here, but I'm like, when I think about it, it's quite raw and
That's it. I mean, you're a doula, aren't you? And like, you know that women benefit massively from having, you know, female support at their birth. And that can be in so many different guises. And, you know, for some, they want to know who's going to be at their birth. Well, I mean, I really think there's a hell of a lot of sense in knowing who's going to be at your birth. I do think, as you pointed out, that unknown of who could show up, that's quite a big unknown, because with that unknowing, you know, can come someone that strides into your home and has their own belief system around birth, their own past experiences around birth that they may or may not have processed in any way. And they're bringing that into your space, and they may or may not read your birth plan or whatever. So there's a lot of like variables and factors and stuff when you've got someone. But if you say, you know, hire someone, you could hire an independent midwife or something like that. You could hire the doula, birth keeper, whoever, and then you know who they are. And then hopefully maybe you can gain some kind of relationship with them and a connection that you feel comfortable with and be on that same kind of page. And for some, that's the goal. That's exactly what they want. They want someone else there. And because I don't think, you know, I'm, again, not ever going to sit here and go, oh, the gold standard of birth, the best way of birthing is completely on your own, you know, and because it's not like that. Like, for some, that's something they'll choose. And absolutely, some women even want to birth alone, you know, even without their partners. They're like, nah, you stay sleeping. I'm all right. You know, I'll just go and do this. And I get that. And for some, that would be really lonely. But for some, that feels right for them. But yeah, absolutely. Like, female support, you know, can be absolutely great. And that's just another choice, isn't it? You know, but I think, yeah, knowing who that person is, I think is pretty vital, because it's a big experience in your life. And it's not just one day, you know, this is a lifelong impact for you, your partner, your baby, your family, you know, this big ripple effect here. And yeah, making decisions around that where you feel really confident, you know, is great. And I think when you can see little areas like that and you're already seeing like, oh, I'm not going to know who shows up, then you think, fine, how can you know? What can you do then? Who do you want there? You know, like that's what where you need to kind of go from that point, I think.
Yeah. Did you feel lonely during your free birth?
No, I mean, well, so I did decide I had a doula. We called her about an hour before, maybe an hour and a half or something like that before I gave birth. So it was me and my husband, and I was just moving away downstairs for quite a long old time. I mean, I made that mistake. My first birth was about 24 hours, and I thought, oh yeah, at home, it's going to be so much quicker. It was about 24 hours. It's the same thing. But it was like, you know, I was at home. It was so much easier. I was so much more comfortable. So that those hours could pass a lot more easily for me. But I you know, got to the end. I think we only called her when I kind of felt like, God, come on. You know, this must be like, I know I'm doing well with this, but come on. And we called her in, and I really did appreciate having someone else there to just, I don't know, just to be. I needed that presence in the room. I don't think, you know, it's not a bad thing. I think for me, if I go back to past me, I'd probably say, well, I think you had a few areas where you could have maybe explored it. Because for me, my first birth was transferring into hospital from a home birth. So I had that going on. I had that sense of like, oh, if I transfer in, I want the I want like backup with me. So I wanted, my main reason really, and I don't advertise this as a great decision, but my main reason for having a doula was that if we transfer in, but I've got someone on my side, right, to help defend off all the stuff I don't want. And I was actually really kind of putting her in a bit of a bad position, because I believe doulas can be an amazing support to us, but I don't believe it's fair to put them in the line of going like, you protect me from the stuff I don't want. You know, I think that's a real harsh position to put someone in. I don't really think it's possible either. But that was really my reason. But having her there at the birth, there was benefits to that. I really like that. It was nice to even just have someone around. Even just afterwards, I had a son already sleeping upstairs. He just slept through the whole thing, so it was fine. But if he had surfaced, it would have been nice to have another pair of hands. So yeah, there's even like, you know, logistical reasons why you might. But I liked having her there, but I certainly didn't feel like I needed anyone else. You know, me and my husband, that was great for just hours and hours and hours and hours. That was perfect.
What was the best thing about your free birth?
It was the normalness of how it could all happen. It was the playing with my son whilst bouncing around on a birth ball and having contractions and just giving him a cuddle and smelling my own things, you know, eating whatever I fancied when I liked it. And not, there wasn't pressure. I mean, I let go of, I wasn't timing contractions. I wasn't thinking about stages of whatever I was in or how, I didn't know how dilated, because I very much landed in the position of, I don't need to know how dilated I am. I know with my first birth, I went from like, you know, 3 centimeters to like, oh, there's a baby in less than half an hour. I know it's all nonsense. The way you can track things, the way you can like feel like the numbers matter a hell of a lot. I let go of all of that. So it was just life as life happened. And then boom, living room floor, baby, amazing, sat back. And the feeling, I mean, it's very much why I'm here doing this. But the feeling of just like, I had this little insight of like, oh God, I'm such an idiot for worrying about this. Like, that is so insane that I spent so much time like fretting and worrying and like, oh, what if, you know, she's in this position or this happens? Oh, what if this is that? In the little moment of holding her in my arms, I was just like, oh my God, it's so, like, birth is so simple. It's so incredibly simple. The actual giving birth bit. It's all the other junk of like the worry and the ways thing usually happen, you know, the kind of rules or whatever that we feel we have to live by. It was all that that took up my time. But the actual, my body just doing it and just spewing a baby out, it did it. And it was just so easy for me. Like ultimately, like birth wasn't easy. It took 24 hours. You know, it was quite lengthy. It was quite painful. I'm not making it, you know, it wasn't an idyllic, euphoric dream. It was tough. But the overriding feeling at the end was just like, oh God, yeah, this was just, my body so could do that. But my brain was so wrapped up in all the stuff. And And then that's why I started on my little mission online of trying to share that to people. Because just easy. It felt really easy and good. And I thought more people need to feel like that. Not that they were saved. It was some kind of terrible, arduous, really tough, traumatic thing. And then being carried into motherhood on that feeling of like, bloody hell, I did that. I am so capable of that. That was amazing. And a very far cry from when I birthed my son. And I had no instrumental birth. I didn't have a C-section. I didn't have anything that you would say is like, oh, that's really traumatic. But even just the very kind of, you know, minor-ish detail of, I was very aware that they basically kind of, it was quite a hands-on delivery. There was quite a lot of pulling him out. He was out, but there was like, oh, he's out, here you go, had to do something. I could sense that deeply in my postpartum. There was that, I remember going around telling my husband like, oh, I didn't do it, I couldn't do it, I didn't do it, and I was just being floods of tears, and he'd be like, you did it, you did do it, you did it, you didn't have a C-section, you didn't have this, you did it. I was like, no, I didn't do it. And they really took that from me, and I think they take that from far too many women in terms of rushing a pregnancy and rushing a birth. And that's a big thing to deal with when you have a newborn and then you're like, hello, welcome to motherhood. Here's a baby to look after. You know, you don't feel very capable, but now there's a whole other human. And that's really tough. And I feel for the women that are not as confident as me or can't communicate as effectively. And I think those that internalize it, God, you know, there's a lot of trauma out there undoubtedly that we don't even hear about. But the flip side of like, free birth and starting life on that, like that high that I think I'm still on, and she's two. So I want people to feel like that. That's better.
Wow. Yeah. I remember your account popping up when you first started, and you had those pictures of your home birth, and then it just started going, didn't it? You were just like speaking your mind with those like one image with the text, which just everyone was just like, oh my God, share. But obviously I do think your stuff can be perceived as quite controversial in the way that you write things, and you get people thinking, and I think that's quite good. Do you feel you get quite a lot of pushback or anyone in your DM saying you're not doing a safe work? Or, I mean, I get it, and my stuff's like so not, you know, I mean, I do get off the controversial stuff, but people still come for me. So I wonder what it's like in your DMs.
I know. I see it like you'll kind of say like, oh, like a sweep. That's also an induction. And then it just explodes and everyone's like, it's not, it's just a sweep. What are you on about? And like, I see that the hate. But the thing is, I mean, it's certainly in the beginning, I got a lot of pushback, and it was a bit of a maybe a bit of a surprise, because I mean, that's just me entering the birth world and I don't know how it's going to be received. But yeah, in the beginning, you know, certainly you get people going, oh, you're just encouraging everyone to have a dead baby. How incredibly responsible of you. And that's, yeah, tough to hear. But ultimately, I know there is a hell of a lot of pain out there from women's experiences of their births. And I think that, like, really understandably comes out in a strong defensive, you know, reaction to seeing someone going, hello, I'm over here and I'm talking about giving birth at home without anyone there. And I'm saying, you know, that that's an option. And for some, if you've had an experience where, you know, you very strongly feel like, oh, my baby wouldn't be here today, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the life-saving care I received. If you see someone like me talking on the internet, of course you're not going to appreciate what I'm putting out there, because it's not what you relate to. The trouble is, I have a huge amount of compassion for people who are in that space, but I can't look at that and hear that without seeing a narrative that can just be replayed and replayed and relearned by everybody that I do feel is ultimately very dangerous, you know. And because if we keep going around in this cycle of really disturbing the birth process, creating an emergency, then swooping in with something to solve that emergency, then saying that was very necessary, telling everybody hears that and goes, oh my God, birth could be such an emergency, I'll go into hospital. And it repeats and repeats and repeats. And we're just seeing an increase in C-sections. We've got, what, nearly 40% now in the UK of women having a C-section, whether that's, you know, they're choosing to do that or it's an emergency. And, you know, there's even, you can add more to that in terms of our instrumental delivery. And there's so much of that out there. And with all of that comes risk. It's not an easy option to have a C-section or to have, you know, an instrumental birth. Like, that's not something that comes without risk and danger. You're having major surgery. You're starting motherhood having had major surgery, which is really hard, the recovery of that, you know. And so, and that's going to impact your future births too. You know, a lot of the time that risk that you could be told about could just be like kind of shoved along to a future birth and pregnancy, yeah. You know.
And I think a lot of people, I'm just talking like general population,
yeah,
would just think going into hospital, that's safe. That's where most people give birth. They're not looking at the maternity statistics and going, yeah, oh, hold on a minute. Is this safe? Like, look at these statistics. Is it really safe? But I'm just thinking again of the listeners who, I would genuinely say the majority of people listening to this conversation would be giving birth at hospital. So from your perspective, what are your tips for how you can still have a positive and safe birth at hospital?
I don't feel you can. I feel like, say you are someone who is making a decision to birth in hospital due to something that you very much feel like, you know, there's something going on for you. Maybe it's an existing medical condition or something. And you're like, right, I need to be in this medical setting. I firmly believe it's a safe space for me. Of course, that is absolutely your choice to make. And I understand that. And I do understand people making the choice of, I want to give birth in hospital from a place of, I feel like that's safest for me. What I would say is, do you understand what that means? You know, do you feel fully aware of what that situation is going to be like? Because I think for many of us, we can go down that path, learn a hell of a lot from our first birth, and then go, okay, I don't want that again. And it's very different the second time around. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to, you know, your first birth doesn't have to be a kind of self-teaching experience. I think maybe for some it kind of does, because you can't, maybe you don't get to that place where you feel safe in any other situation other than a hospital. And I get that. I understand that. Say, you know, it's not like I feel everybody should give birth at home. They need to absolutely do what feels right for them. I just think it's very much a lie blanket statement to say hospitals are absolutely the safest place. I mean, it's a do a bit of research. It's a bit of a Google search, you know, like look at what your local hospital is doing. Do you feel happy with the stats that are coming out of there? Does it look like a place where you're going to go and it's very likely that you have, you know, a spontaneous labor, vaginal birth? Like, what's important to you? What matters? All the ideas and tips and tricks of, I used to do this. I used to be a bit more like, you know, oh, you could travel into hospital wearing a face mask and block out the light and keep the oxytocin flowing and stuff. And I think the issue with something like that, as far as I see it, is that it it's recommending ways to make a situation that I don't feel is ultimately safe more manageable. And then I think, is that really a great idea? If we're being more truthful about what actually comes out of a hospital, what actually could be there, you know, for you on the receiving end, like you say, I mean, support that you don't know who it is. And then what is this situation of the hospital? What are their rates of kind of C-sections or interventions? What's their safety rating? You know, what's their kind of, what is the situation there? Because is it safe? Do you know it's safe? You know, that you might feel there's that sense of safe just from, I don't know, what we're brought up to really understand, but do you know? Like, what are you basing that on? I suppose I would say, like, get curious about that too. Don't just let the fear of not having that support your birth override all your decisions, because it could very much be something you look back on and regret doing, you know, in the same way you think, oh, I might regret giving birth at home. And what if I don't have that support? I mean, again, like, what if you go into a hospital environment, they completely ignore your partner and say, no, I'm not listening to you. This is essential, or your baby dies. And whatever happens, happens. And then you have to live with that. You know, that's what I think, you need to look into the bigger picture of all of it and then see how you feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, if I was giving the, I don't want to say like proper answer, you could say things like, yeah, put your eye mask on, try and have your oxygen set, labor at home for as long as possible, be informed, have a doula if you're able to, make sure your birth partner gets on the same course as you and educates yourself. Go into the birth center if you're able to again, and getting in late is probably one of the best tips, I think, because then you just reduce your time there and you reduce the chances of anything happening. But as a doula, I have seen some amazing hospital births, you know, ones where I've left and I'm like, man, that midwife team was amazing. Like, they left us alone, they respected our wishes. It was lovely being in there. It was a good vibe. It was positive, you know, that I have been to many like that, where I've literally been like, I love midwives. Like, they do, you know, they're working so hard. And as a doula, I get to swan in and swan out. And I have the luxury of just being with the woman instead of doing all the notes and all the other pressures. So, yeah, there's been times where I've been like, I've got so much respect for them and I just feel in awe of what they're doing. And then there's been times where there's been the challenging clinician where I've thought, oh, God, that wasn't good. But in all honesty, more often than not, I really respect the teams and what they're doing. And I think they're trying their best within, you know, what they have to work with. And that's just my perception working in London. I know we can't, that's all I've got to say for it, but that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and then that's amazing for those women who've had those experiences, but then what for the ones that don't, you know, what for the ones, and how can we guarantee that for them? And what do we say to the ones that have had a horrendous experience in a situation in a hospital and they went in hearing of the amazing ones from elsewhere? You know, what do we tell them? I mean, I work with women who break down when they tell me their birth stories about how, and so much of it stems from, they just weren't listened to. They weren't listened to in terms of, I know my baby's coming. I'm going to, you know, any second now. They're like, nah, you've only been here for so long. You know, you're only so dilated. It's just not going to happen. And they're left alone in a room and a baby comes out and they're terrified because they're not listened to. I mean, I've had women tell me that they haven't been listened to when they've begged and pleaded and said, I can feel you cutting my baby out, because that hasn't worked. Whatever you're using, you know, the epidural, it's not working. And they're told, we can't give you any more. It must be working, and continued. And it's devastating, because how do you get over that? How do you get past that? And then for some, that they get into a situation that's so dire that they're knocked out completely. And then they wake up and they're handed a baby. And I've had people tell me that, you know, I looked at my baby and just thought, is that mine? Is that even mine? I've got no connection to that experience. And I think there is so much numbing and separation from the birth experience that we're not. We're just really robbed of that feeling of doing it ourselves, of feeling connected to that experience, and of bringing our baby into the world. And I think that's very important for our life, for our future, for our parenting, for us as people. Like, I think you can look at it in isolation of like, oh, this is just one moment of me getting my baby out and I need them to be safe. It's really not. You know, I think it's an entire big lifetime impact of everything. And yeah, undoubtedly, some people go into hospital and they have a good experience, but also some people go in and it's life altering. And that's not always just, they're not leaving with a baby. That's their entire existence and relationship and everything. And then to them, I go, well, what do we say to them? And then, so, you know, because otherwise we can't recommend it. This is the issue. Like, if you can't really stand in a position and go, this is absolutely okay and safe, which unfortunately I do feel like the maternity system, you know, we know statistically women aren't given all of the information, you know, I see in polls and things, you know, were you given all the information about sweeps? Were you given all the information about this? No, I wasn't told that. I wasn't told it could take days or fail, all this kind of thing. So we know we're not really always given that information. So then if we can't sit from a position and go, oh yeah, hospital birth's definitely safe, then how are we helping if we're saying it can be safe, it might be okay, you could do these things and it might help, but it might not, because you need to get so many ducks in a row. I think that's the problem.
It's so hard, isn't it? Because I'm so conscious of ensuring that people don't feel scared.
Yeah.
But then these are important conversations to have, because otherwise you're kind of lying in a way by just saying that everything can be positive. It's all about mindset, because I want people to ultimately feel positive about where they're going. And like I said, I've seen it work really well. And I've got loads of podcast episodes of amazing births, amazing inductions, you know, and then obviously ones that aren't so amazing. And that's it's so hard, this conversation, because I know that there'll be people listening going, well, this has just made me feel fearful. And I've got to go to hospital because I've got a medical condition. And now I feel like I can't be safe there. So
do you know what though? Like, it reminds me, you did a great post maybe a while back now, but you know, you're aware of this also. And I know it comes up for you of just like the whole hypnobirthing world of what of the woman that does the hypnobirthing and does all the kind of like, I'm very positive and I've got a great mindset and goes into hospital and she does all the things. And then it's still awful and she's still traumatized. What do we say to her and why did that happen? And how is she left? And we often, you know, I hear that from others too, of just like, I did all the things and I was still traumatized. You know, I advocated for myself. I said no, they did it anyway. I did all these things. So what did I do wrong? And I think that's the difficulty, because yeah, for some, they'll do all these things and it'll work out and it'll be okay. And for others, it won't. So really, again, we're back to that kind of, it's not a place of, it's not fair to be kind of really saying it's just that easy when it often in reality doesn't end up being that easy. But then I think, yeah, of course, that sounds quite terrifying, because then it's like, what the hell do I do? But so then I think it's coming back to what do you want to do? And can you really look at this place of safety and fear and what's coming up for you? And again, like, you know, I don't want to make everyone feel like, oh, I just, the only way to have a good birth is to free birth and I must do that then. Because, I mean, it's an important part of my work that everybody's choices is theirs to make. And I think that should be the case for everybody. I do think, unfortunately, that also doesn't happen in the medical system, because, you know, you're given a label, say you're called high risk and you're said, right, you're not allowed to have your water birth, or you're not allowed to have your home birth. You must do this, you must do that. And we are told what to do often by people in that medical industry. And then we feel like we don't have those choices. So then what? You know, what of these people that feel like they don't have a choice to make because certain people are telling them that? And so I really think the best place you can sit in is questioning it all and trying to take a little step back at least and go, what do I actually want to do? You know, take everything off the table right now of what I'm being told I can and can't do or whatever. Like, what does feel important to me and how can I move closer to that? You know, like, what are the steps I can make to get there? Because I think that's it. I love a free birth, but I really love someone who's able to make choices about their birth that just feel like they're coming from them. And that really matters too for the aftermath. You know, if you feel like it was your choice, it was your call and your decision, that's great. But if you end that whole situation and you're like, I did this for my partner who was really uneasy about me giving birth at home, so I did it in hospital instead, or I did this because someone in a white coat told me to do that, you're not going to be left with a sense of kind of completeness there. It will be difficult. It will be hard in that situation because, you know, when we go against our intuition, doesn't tend to end very well.
So what did the journey look like from being someone, say now I'm in my first trimester, I've just listened to this podcast, it's opened my mind, maybe it's challenged me, maybe I've thought, oh, I don't really agree with that or that theory. Maybe I've been tempted to switch it off at times, but I've kept on listening and
you know, just, and my mind's been open and I've got some questions and maybe some fears. What does one do now?
Yeah, I mean, I would think, and it's the same place I would start with anybody actually, whether they were a full on kind of fully committed, I'm all in, I want a free birth, or even someone who was just like, yeah, do you know what? You know, this whole concept terrifies me, worries me, and I think you sound a bit mad. I would say, how much do you feel like the decisions you're making around your pregnancy, your birth and birth are coming from you versus everything you're being told or made to feel like you should do? Like if you can really start to work on the you bit, you know, the voice that you've got, that kind of signal in you. And that's not to, you know, yeah, independent of any decision you make. So I don't even care. I don't care if you have hospital birth or a free birth. Like, honestly, I'm so unattached to whatever birth you choose. But I think it's always a benefit.
I love that. No, I really don't care. You do you.
I don't. I really don't. Because what really struck me, and I had to come to that realization, because yeah, in the beginning, I was very much coming from this place of like, oh my God, I can see all the damage that's happening in a hospital. You know, I can see all this hurt that's happening, even from a midwife at home, potentially. You know, I can see all of that. So I want people to understand that, you know, there are other options. There's too much of a responsibility and a weight and a heaviness that comes with that that isn't mine to have. I can't tell you what to do. I would love it if you could make the decision and the choice that feels right for you from you. And I want to have that conversation, you know, because I can't sit over here going, oh, look at me, I'm so amazing. I've, you know, created all these free births in the world, because I'm not. Because if I do that, then I'm also potentially creating all the ones that make the decisions that go on to have a, you know, tragic outcome, a death, a loss or whatever. And it's nothing to do with me. And I don't think it should be anything to do with anybody, actually, that isn't the one going through it, isn't the one actually birthing. I think they should really feel like they are right in the middle of every decision they're making about everything to do with them, their body, their baby. It shouldn't be guilt-led, fear-led, someone who with a huge amount of authority is telling me led, you know, like all of that kind of thing. It should just be from them. They should feel like it's coming from them. So I think, irregardless of whether or not you think, oh yeah, free birth sounds insane, how are you making your decisions? Where are they coming from? How connected are you feeling with you and what you want to do? And if you start to kind of think, oh yeah, do you know what? I don't actually know what I want to do until someone else tells me, or until I get this bit of information or whatever. Look at that. Look at why. Why is that? Because that's the most interesting thing. A lot of the work I do when I'm working with couples and with women who are preparing for these kind of births, we're talking more about their life experiences. Like, who are you as a person? You're a massive people pleaser. And that's why you're finding it really bloody hard to make the decision that you want to make, because you've got all eyes on you and everyone's going, make the best decision. And we all think it's this. So you're pulled to want to do that, because it's so hard for you to just do the thing that you want to do, because you've got a track record of that. It could be like, you know, anything, domineering mother, father, you know, like you've always had this thing about authority. It's like these little things, they're the roots of why you're making all these decisions. So, and we get so disconnected from ourselves. Like, I mean, you know, women in general, we're not raised to trust ourselves, are we? Or like anything to do with our bodies or like, yeah, who we are. We're pretty much raised to like, you know, oh, ignore your menstrual cycle, ignore your period, carry on with life, hurl yourself into everything else. None of it matters. Don't connect to you, you know, just you can do it all, you know, and there's a deep disconnect, I think, for many of us of like, how do you bloody feel? How are you feeling? What do you want to do? That's a good place to start, I think.
And do you think having a conversation with someone to go through this? Because those are quite big questions to tackle alone, I would say. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about my birth here as well, so I'm being a bit selfish just asking you all these questions.
Just do it. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I think it's good. Like, you're a living example right now, aren't you? You know, you really are. And you're going through it. So, of course, you're going to massively relate to all of this. I mean, I also, like, I listened to your past episodes of your miscarriage, because I was really interested in the fact that, you know, you decided to do that without the medical intervention and without you know, anything being done, and you wanted to journey through that yourself. And I found that really interesting, because I mean, you know, in many ways you like, you've walked that choice of doing something.
In some ways it did feel like a bit of a free birth. Like, I was alone, like in the bathroom, you know, too much information, but blood everywhere, like dealing with it all myself. And like, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, I'm moving around in communities of women who free birth, and the ones who, you know, do miscarry, or many of them call it an early birth because they feel like that term is more appropriate for them, because they feel like it was moving through a birth. They had contractions and their body expelled. And they, you know, everyone, I know everyone attaches different meaning and significance to it. And I heard your kind of, you know, particular words you wanted to use. But I think, yeah, they would be calling that, you know, a free birth, because that's giving birth without anything there. And it's the conscious choice to do that. You know, you had options presented to you of like, right, we could do this, this and this. Mm. And it didn't feel right to you to have that medical involvement. And I found that really interesting, because, I mean, that's it. That's exactly how so many women feel. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, you were talking about the future implications of how that might affect you if you got pregnant again. Same thing, you know, for many women.
About something. So I think obviously not there's no risk to the baby in that scenario, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. There was a risk to me. They were saying, yes. You know, hemorrhage, etc. Like the having the DNC, they didn't say safer, but they were definitely encouraging like the pill to bring it on.
Sure.
So that's quite interesting, is that I was way more comfortable.
Definitely. And I heard that too. Like, I think you mentioned that your partner also, he had a big concern about your safety, you know, and really wanted. Yeah. And it was interesting, like at the beginning of that, you were like, I know this is happening. Like, I mean, it was really fascinating to listen to, because you were like, I can feel in my body, there's been a shift. I know there's a change. I know there's something different. And I just know. And what an amazing sense for anyone to have when, you know, they're pregnant and they're going through something, to really have that solid, like, internal line to you of knowing how you're feeling and what's going on. That's what you need, because when you're outsourcing that, there's a danger there, because you're going to someone else, tell me what I'm feeling, tell me what's going on. And I understand that need for many, because they're like, I want the proof, I want to know what's going on. But again, like, there's so many cases of something misdiagnosed, something, you know, false information, or something missed even. You know, I hear so many stories of women giving birth and a heart defect and their baby's missed or something that you would think would be picked up at a scan and all these things. So I can't stress enough how much you know how you are feeling and what's going on in your body. And yeah, you absolutely had that. And yeah, I know your partner was like, of course, you know, I care about you. I want you to be okay. So I almost felt like it led you down a little bit of that. You investigated things a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, like you say, you made that conscious decision of like, I'm going to do this myself. And I know there are risks. And that's exactly what women do when they free birth.
I felt powerful afterwards. I was like, I just did that. Like, it's cleared out my body. Because my brother was like, because we started trying pretty soon after. He's like, oh, don't you think you should wait? Like, doesn't your body like need to recover? And I was like, Dan, like, stop thinking about miscarriage like an injury. It's a passing. It's a, like, it's a cleansing. This is my perspective. It was something that wasn't meant to be. And if it was meant to be, it would have happened. And I felt like it was kind of a flushing out of something that wasn't meant to be, rather than my uterus is now injured and sore and it now needs to recover. You know, maybe if you had the DNC, that might be actually the case, that there's there would have been. You do have to leave it a little while. But for me, I was like, I just intuitively knew that my body was ready to try whenever I was psychologically ready and emotionally ready. So another thing I wanted to speak about before we come on to talk about like what you do and how you might be able to support anyone who's wishing to even just explore home birth, because I know you work with home birth and not only free birth, and that conversation around personal responsibility, ownership would be so interesting to have. But as a doula, I am so hyper aware of my influence over couples, because they trust me. We're in the same homes. We're eating together, breaking bread. We've built this amazing relationship. And they turn to me for answers, which I know what I would do, but I have to always withhold that. And I obviously help them to get to what they think is right. But obviously there's times where you're like, you really do think that that's not a good idea, but you keep on having to. It's like a constant thing where you check yourself, or you check, you know, that's how I practice anyway. I always like them to make the decision and ask them the right questions that get them to think and get them to solve their own problems. But obviously for you, you're mostly working with people who are free birthing. I wanted to know how much like responsibility do you feel for those birth outcomes? And let's say now your client's about to give birth and it's the window. Do you find yourself going, you're like waiting for that news and you're just hoping that everything's okay?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really interesting too, because like, I mean, obviously, like on a level of just being me, I care about people on a people level, and I really want people to have, you know, a really beautiful and good experience, for people to be well and for women to have a great, you know, birth and everything. But in terms of you know specific individuals, because I've worked with them and we've had that connection and everything, I very much do my absolute best to let go of that connection really as soon as we've stopped working with each other, because there is no benefit to that. I will be in this person's or couple's space for as much as they want me to be. And then once we finish that, that's really the end of that. And I don't have any ownership over knowing an outcome of a birth or a story or anything like that. I'm not owed that because I worked with them. Or like, you know, of course, you know, I love to hear about these things, but it's completely up to them as to whether or not they want to share that, or they feel that that's part of it. That's not our, like, you know, contract terms, as it were. You know, I don't work with someone and go like, right, when you've had a birth, you have to tell me everything and everything, or come on the podcast or whatever. Like, it's not about that. It's about, you know, our time, and what I am fully invested in is the sessions that we work together, the way that we, you know, when we're talking and stuff, that kind of connection. That's, I'm present and we are connected for that. And like you say, you know, I don't feel a responsibility in terms of an outcome and anything like that. And I make that painfully clear. You know, I'm when we're working together, I say, like, you know, are you aware of this? Are you comfortable with this and everything? And this is you. It's always very much highlighted, because I think that's a huge lacking area in just support in maternity anyway, is that I don't think women feel like it is them. I think they feel like it's someone else telling them. And as we've talked about already, that's a dangerous dynamic. So no, you know, I don't feel a responsibility for the outcome. I'm obviously aware that they are coming to me and we're talking about topics like birth without medical assistance. That's their choice. They're choosing to do that with me. And yeah, I'm out in the internet banging a drum, I suppose, and going, hello, if you want to learn more about birth without medical support, I'm here talking about that, just as we're all talking about different subjects and stuff. So I don't feel, you know, I think sometimes the free birth stuff gets lumped into like, oh, how dangerous of you to talk around about this topic. That's so irresponsible. I don't believe that at all. You know, I think we are adults with our own mind. We can make our own choices and decisions. And yeah, as much as I love to hear about a birth and everything, I don't feel like it's my focus or, yeah. So but I've had to work on that. I've had to make a conscious decision of letting go of that, because yeah, when you work with someone so personally, it's, yeah. You know, you want to know. But yeah, I think that's an important part of birth work, actually, is to just not.
Yeah. And I think that to say that you specifically influence, there's so much, isn't there? Like, to an experience, you could never really say, well, it was because of you that this happened. But Victoria, we have been chin wagging because I've been enjoying it so much. I usually go for 40 minutes. So
is that last time? We had this last time. I know.
We just been up and on.
Or something.
Okay, so for someone listening who's like, right, I am curious, what can you offer them?
Right, well, I would say if you're curious about free birth, best place to start is come and join our normal, boring free birth community on Facebook. It's free, it's private. You can come and join our group and connect with other women who are thinking about the same. We also hold a circle, so we do that over Zoom. And it's like, imagine an antenatal class where no one's looking at you like you're mad when you're talking about free birth or giving birth at home. Because everyone gets it. They're on the similar wavelength. So, you know, we wanted to create a space where people felt like they could talk and share about that. So, yeah, we've created this free birth circle. And we meet twice a month. Or come to me and you can book a free clarity call. You know, I do a free call for those that are just like, look, I don't know if I want to work with this. I don't know if I want a free birth at all. I'm just a bit curious. Can I just have a quick chat? Absolutely. We can just have a quick chat. And then if you do feel like you want to go for it and you want to explore this, your partner's got massive reservations, there's something that doesn't sit well with you, that's exactly what the, you know, one-to-one session work is for. I used to do courses for people, for groups, and I very quickly realized that just not effective in supporting people in the choices they want to make. So I only do personal work now that is one-to-one with individual women or a couple. And couples ideally, because, yeah, you get your partner on board, then
really,
that's a huge benefit. Yeah.
Victoria, it's been absolutely amazing to have you on. For anyone who wants to work with her or follow her social pages, I'm going to add everything to the show notes. But thank you so much. I feel like you're going to come on again for some other conversation, but it's been brilliant. Thank you.